All right. Hey, guys. It's just me this week. This is Allison. Jane is on a study abroad in Spain. She's been there for a while. She actually comes back. She came back yesterday when this is released. So she comes back on Saturday, but that wasn't enough time to record, watch a movie and record. So instead, we asked you guys, or rather I asked you guys, whether you would like to see me do a mini-sode on the Game of Thrones ending, what I thought on the Game of Thrones finale, how the show ended, or whether or not you wanted me to do a Q&A. So you guys voted for a Q&A, although it was really, really close, so maybe Jane and I will have to do an episode on the Game of Thrones ending. Anyway, I have 23 questions that you guys asked us, or you asked me, on all different social medias, so let's dive into it. Okay, first question. What are your thoughts on 2001: A Space Odyssey? Long. It's long. And it's good, you know? I would say people should watch it, but never more than once. Why are you so cute? Thanks. It's fake. Thoughts on the Divergent series. This one was a longer question, so I didn't type it all out, so I'm going to actually read it. Okay. This was from Anne Marie on Instagram, and she said, how do you feel about the Divergent directors cutting off the Divergent series at the halfway mark of Allegiant? There's still half a book that was not turned into a movie. Rumors say they were going to make a part two, but the directors and producers confirmed that they were cutting off the series with the first half. Thoughts? So I have not read the Divergent series. I don't even think I've seen any of the movies. I may have seen the first one. But if it's anything like the Percy Jackson series, I can understand why somebody would be upset. Next question. What is your favorite genre and what is your favorite flick in that genre? My favorite genre is probably horror. I'm not sure for sure if that's true, but I love that genre. I think it's a really, really hard genre to master, but I think the films that are in it are especially impactful to me when they're good. So my favorite flick in that genre is probably Hereditary, if you can consider that a horror. Best Smash Bros. Character, Kirby, because I always pick that one. Because I pick characters completely based on their looks and how much I've seen them in popular culture. Favorite director? Probably Quentin Tarantino. I've liked every single... He's only made, like, what? This Once Upon a Time in Hollywood will be his 9th film. But it's, like, every single film he makes is so good. And I love that, like, old take-your-time kind of style. Keep me engaged with the plot. You don't have to keep me engaged with, an explosion, you know? So I love Quentin Tarantino. He's probably my favorite. I know that's a really basic answer, but it's true. Ever watch Goodfellas? No. Bad question. How did you and Jane meet? Jane and I met, in college. We actually met our first day in college, the orientation of college. So Jane and I are both in the honors program at our school, and on the day we came to sign our intent to be in the honors program at Missouri Southern, we had to go up there, and they, like, announced our name and our intended major, and I'm a theater major. I was the only one in my class. I think I might be the only one in the program, in fact, but we signed, and then afterwards we had class registration. So Jane's mom came up to me while I was waiting to register for classes. I was talking with my friend Kyle, who graduated from my same school, and he also is in the program. And she came up to me and she said, "You're the girl that does theater, right?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "My daughter does theater here," and then left. So I invited Jane to sit with us, and we really didn't talk very much, but then we followed each other on Instagram, And for our 4th of July photos, we both posted a photo with the exact same caption, which was a quote from the musical Hamilton. And then we were neighbors in the dorms, and fate just wanted us to be friends, and now we're roommates. We've been roommates for a long time, so that's how, I guess that's how we met. What's the best color? Black. I know that's not like a color technically, but shut up. If you're the person that says, oh, black's not a color, shut up. Go away. I don't care. Yes, it is. Black. Next question. Best flavor of anything? I think this means like the best flavor of like, I'm assuming like candy and stuff like that. Not just like my favorite food. And I'm going to say the red one. It's always the red one for me. My earliest memory is a really traumatic memory from when I was a kid. I think I was maybe like, oh, well, I don't know if this is my earliest memory, but it's definitely my earliest, most vivid memory. I could probably like remember something really vague and dumb. But when I was like 5, I went to New York City with some of my family, not just like my parents, but like some of my cousins and stuff like that. And we went to the Toys R Us in New York City, which is, it's just ginormous. It had a Ferris wheel in it, tons of things. And so we went there, and there was this big, like, Lego animatronic dinosaur. So it was Lego, but it moved, and it roared, and its eyes lit up, and it was giant. It was, like, the size of, like, dinosaur bones you see in the museum, essentially. So, I went there and I was very scared of that thing, and my family was like, oh, take a picture next to it, take a picture next to it. I didn't want to, but they made me, and my cousin, he was an adult too at this time. He pushed the button that made it roar while my back was turned to it, and I was taking a picture and sitting like right by it. So it roars and it comes down like right next to my head, and I freaked out and started crying. And I'm to this day still very scared of animatronic dinosaurs, and I'm extremely wary of dinosaur bones in museums. I don't like them, and I won't go near them, and I always get really sweaty when I see them. So that created that's my only irrational fear, and I'm very scared of it, and that's my earliest memory. Next question. Which toe is the best? And don't say pinky. The big toe. Okay, would you rather always have to use use half the conditioner you usually use? So would you rather always have to use half the conditioner you usually use, or only shave half of your body? The shaving can be horizontal, diagonal, etc. I would say shave half my body. I'd probably just never shave my legs, and I would only shave the upper half horizontally. And I just hope that my razor would reach everything, because I don't know, I just feel like I want to wear sleeveless stuff, but I don't want to wear pants. Also, I don't really care that much about shaving, you know, but I do care a lot about the amount of conditioner I use, which is a lot. So, yeah, I'd use the conditioner. And I just, I would just sooner not shave my body. But if I had to shave, I'd say horizontally, upper half. That's what I'd do. What coming-of-age film is the most representational of your transition from youth to adult? I usually hate coming-of-age films. I don't hate them. That's kind of harsh. I usually don't love them. I don't usually watch them. But I would say my favorite coming-of-age film, which is also what I think is the most representational of my transition, is Eighth Grade, Bo Burnham's Eighth Grade, which is not probably shocking to anyone who knows me, because I love, love, love that film. I would say that because I think that is a really... I think most coming of age films, when they depict like awkward teens, it's always like awkward teens trying to be cool and these like they do these like crazy things. Or they're already kind of cool teens, or they're people that could never be considered uncool, like in any world, no way they'd be considered uncool. And I never really related to that very much because I was a very like awkward teen, very awkward youth. So I would say eighth grade is probably the best representation because it really encapsulates the actual feeling of middle school, which is just like secondhand embarrassment for yourself and for everybody else, and like just trying and failing at literally everything because you suck so hard. But then at the end, like, and also that movie, what I really, really love about that movie, sorry, I'm going on a tangent about eighth grade now. What I really love about that movie is that everything that happens is so minor. Nothing really major happens. And yet it feels like, even to the audience, it feels like, wow, what a big step, what a big accomplishment. Like, that's the coolest thing ever. And then really, it's when you look back at it, you're like, that's so dumb. Like, that's such a small thing. You literally didn't do anything. But when you're in that position, it feels like such a feat just to, like, go to somebody's house or just to wear something that you're not used to wearing, and or like learning to part your hair a different way or something like that. So I think that film really, she doesn't move a whole lot, so it's not really coming of age, I guess, but I would say, I don't know how else you would describe it, so I think it's that one. Eighth grade, Bo Burnham, great movie, snubbed at the Oscars. Who is your favorite actor/actress and why? I would say, this is hard. I don't really, I'm not really like a person that idolizes actors or actresses very much. I try not to because I have a really hard time like putting my faith too much in a celebrity, because celebrities like always let you down because they're just people and stan culture is dangerous. But an actor that I think is fairly consistently good, I'm trying to think some actors I think I always enjoy the stuff that they're in pretty much. Leonardo DiCaprio, I pretty much always enjoy the stuff he's in. I can only think of a few things that I really didn't like that he was in. Natalie Portman, she's pretty consistently good. I'd say probably my favorite would have to be Leonardo DiCaprio. I follow his career fairly closely. I've seen most of his films, I would say. Otherwise, if I really had to pick like a favorite, it would probably be like Bo Burnham, but he's not really an actor. He's more of a performer. So yeah, I have an actual actor that's like actually a full-time actor, Leonardo DiCaprio. What inspired you to make chick flicks? Well, Jane and I are both very self-centered people, and we wanted to force people to listen to us talk on a platform where we could just scream into the void and maybe somebody would holler back. So we decided that the best medium for us was a podcast. Also, I like movies. What makes The Crucible a great American play? So that one was sent in by a guy that was in my Great American Playwriting class. It's Kyle, the guy I talked about earlier, sort of mentioned. I'd say The Crucible is a great American play because, you know, the message of McCarthyism and the witch hunts, they really last, you know? They really, even today, they last. And I would say the message is very true today. And I would say that movie with Daniel Day-Lewis, where he didn't shower the entire time and didn't brush his teeth for 3 months, it inspired him to do that, you know? So it must be great. Or Daniel Day-Lewis wouldn't have grossed out Winona Ryder. What other projects are you working on other than the podcast? School, theater, etc. Today, my friend entered a 48-hour film competition. So I went and I was in a scene in her short film today. I had to stand in a bucket for an hour while she filmed us. It was a Raisin Bran. It was standing in a bucket of Raisin Bran competition. So I had to do that. So I guess I wouldn't call it my project, but I did work on that. I'm also in the Missouri Shakespeare Festival right now. I'm playing Celia in As You Like It, which is really fun. I've never done a Shakespeare play before, and it's really, it's fun, but it's really intimidating too, because I have never done that. So that opens at the end of the month. And then, what else? My friend Jed and I are working on a short film, but it's kind of becoming a long film. But it probably won't be ready until next year sometime, because he and I, our schedules are so crazy, and he doesn't live here for most of the year. So we're just kind of doing it for fun, and we're making a film. And I'm working on that, but that's kind of going to be something I'm working on in the background, I think, for a long time. But it's really fun, and I love it. And I think that's the only projects I'm working on right now. Other than that, I'm just trying to get prepped, studying abroad next semester. So I'm trying to get prepped for that, for the most part. How's the play going? Thank you. It's going well. It's going pretty well. I'm excited. I'm nervous, but it's going fine. It's fine. I'm just a nervous person. Da Vinci Code or National Treasure? National Treasure. I don't even know how you could ask that question. Moving on. Why are you so fucking beautiful? Thank you. These were asked on my personal page, not our podcast page. Thank you. I don't know. This is our second to last one. You guys did not send me a lot of questions, or I'm answering them really fast. One of the two. Top five movies. This one's really fucking hard. I don't even know if I'm still done with it. Let me see. I have notes. This is really hard. This was really, really hard for me. So, okay. I know my number one film of all time, at least right now, is Waiting for Guffman. I've seen that like a billion times. I feel as though that movie might have been made for me, or at least made for people specifically in this area. It's very, it's about community theater in rural Missouri, and it really does, it speaks to me. I've seen it a lot. So that's my number one. Number two is probably The Shining. I've seen that movie a lot. I show it to a lot of people. It really, for me, has like influenced the way I look at a lot of cinema. It was like one of my first introductions to a horror film that I would consider like really artful, really artistic. And I think that changed the way I looked at horror a lot. And since that's one of my favorite genres, I would say, The Shining. I tried to pick these movies, and honestly, I still haven't picked them all, but I tried to pick these movies based on movies that kind of like change the way that I viewed cinema, touched me in like a lasting way that I like remember it a lot. I remember my first time seeing the film, or I remember that film a lot, and it means a lot to me. So the next one is probably Hereditary, because that movie, I don't know what it is about that film. I guess it's just like I love movies that have long structures that you're just so interested in, even though there's not a lot of action going on. And I know that's definitely not what a lot of people like, but that's kind of what I like in a film, is like, show me that you can keep my attention span without having to use a bunch of gimmicks and stuff. And also, just that movie has superb acting. It has, I mean, it really, when I saw it, very much like viscerally affected me. So that film is definitely in my top five. I don't want them all to be horror movies, Or comedies. I like a lot of comedies too. I was gonna say Oh Hello. That's like that's something that I watch a lot. I've seen that a lot. But I also don't like to say that because it's technically a theater show and they just recorded it and put it on Netflix. So I don't know if that counts, but that definitely affected me. That has definitely changed my life. What else? What other movie has like changed me as a person? I would say another film that has really affected me. I would say, it's so hard to just pick one. Sunset Boulevard. I love that film a lot. I think that film really influenced me and the way I like to see films. Then I would say Hunt for the Wilder People. I love that film, and that movie turned me on to the director of that film, who also directed What We Do in the Shadows, which is another movie that I absolutely love, I've seen it a million times, as well as turned me on to, I know that he also directed, Thor Ragnarok, and also What We Do in the Shadows was one of the main films that got me really interested in mockumentary, which is one of my, my favorite genres, even though it's, kind of campy and stupid. That film, really, 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 I love that film. And then I would say, okay, that's four, isn't it? Yeah, that's four. So my fifth favorite film, this is a really hard, I don't know. I don't know. There's so many, I'm thinking of so many that are just such good movies that, I don't know, Pulp Fiction, Godfather, all of those movies have really influenced me, and also, but also I don't watch them all the time because they're such, heavy watches. I'm trying to think of a movie that I've just seen over and over and over, and I just cannot get enough of it. I would say, this is kind of silly and nothing like the rest of these films, but Scott Pilgrim versus the World, that used to be my favorite movie for a really long time, and I've seen that movie 100 times probably. I have a very special edition copy of it, and I would say that that movie really meant a lot to me when I was younger, and it also kind of introduced me to the world of animation and live action kind of meshed together. And I know that's not the first movie to do that at all, and I've seen tons of them since then, but that was the first movie that kind of turned me onto that and really worked for me. And then I'd also read the graphic novels, so that movie does an incredible job adapting the graphic novels. And also, I love Michael Cera in it. I think everyone in it is so amazing and perfect for their parts. I literally think that movie could not have been made in any other time than it was made. And I definitely, definitely love that movie. And it is a very, nostalgic film for me. And I've seen it a ton. And even though it's not, the most artistic film, and people probably are going to be like, ew, gross, just likes that film because it's, a cult movie. But I do. I really, really love that film. And I've seen it a ton. And I think that film holds a very special place in my heart, and I love it very much. And I also want to replace Hunt for the Wilder People. I do love that movie, but I want to replace that with Heathers, because the Heathers, because that movie's kind of bad. It's not that good, but that film introduced me to cult movies, and I love it very much. I love the musical based on it. I love everything about that film. And I've seen it 8 million times. And I definitely would say The Heathers is probably in one of my top five, just because I love, love, love cult films. I love kind of bad films. Love Star Troopers. I love, I love The Room. Heathers is obviously not as bad as The Room. But I love that film, and I love all the stuff that came from it. I think it was really, like cornerstone of the girl comedy shooter comedy thing. So, yeah. Thank you guys for your questions. I appreciate them very much. Oh wait, no, I think there's one more. But it's a fast one. Yeah, there is. It's what is your favorite movie that came out before you were born? That is easy. Waiting for Guffman came out 2 years before I was born. It is my favorite movie. It is my favorite movie from before I was born. So, thank you guys for listening. I appreciate it if you made it this far. Thank you for sending in questions if you did. I was very nervous. I was not going to have enough questions to do this, and I was going to have to throw together my thoughts on Game of Thrones really quickly. It's very difficult to do this podcast without Jane to banter off of and just listen to myself talking to the void for 30 minutes. But I appreciate if you listened all the way through. Please follow us on social media. That's how we pick our listener episodes a lot of times. That's how we decided to do this film. We really do want you guys to have a say. So we usually do polls on our Instagram, which is the Flick Chicks. I think it's just the Flick Chicks, at the Flick Chicks. Our Facebook is also a place we're really active. It is the Flick Chicks Podcast on Facebook. It has our logo. They all have our logo. We do have a Twitter. We are not as active on there, but that could change if some of you followed us. And that's at FlickChicksPod. And then also we have a Gmail if you guys do want to send us listener requests there. If you want to tell us any interesting facts about movies you'd like us to share on the podcast, we've had people do that. And we love to get your emails. And it's theflickchickspodcast@gmail.com. All of those links, or not links, but all of those ats will be in the show notes as well. So you can find them and remember them. Please share us with your friends. Please share our posts on Facebook. I think once Jane gets back, we are going to do a kind of a contest on our social media to maybe win some merch that I think we're gonna make. So yeah, please follow us on there and share us and get the word out about us, because we love doing this, and we love you guys. So next week, we'll be back with a normal episode, but thanks for tuning in. All right, bye!